Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Roland Minton. Roland is a professor of mathematics at Roanoke College, and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Roland will deliver a talk titled, The PGA Tour, Playing to Your Strengths. Roland, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Let's start off with how I start off most of these conversations. Just tell me, give me a broad sense of your background. You're a mathematician. How did you get into that? And then how did you get into exploring sports topics?
Graduate of Clemson University a long time ago. Always loved math. And the sports part came from being a longtime sports fan. And in terms of teaching, which is always, I've always kind of emphasized teaching over research. And in terms of teaching, students respond to sports examples well. It's not just male, female, because that's a misconception. Not everybody loves sports, but it's a good way to get something that they are interested in and they understand is real. So I've always tried to put those examples in, and then it kind of turned into research.
You know, that's the guy I'm talking to this afternoon is speaking on just that topic, is using sports to inspire young students to have greater interest in the STEM fields. And one of the questions I'd prepared for him, but it will apply to you as well then, is why? What is it about sports, whether, again, male or female, there's no gender bias to it. What is it about the nature of athletics and sports that makes it a good gateway for analytics, science, math?
Well, I think from the student angle, it is something they are familiar with on TV, and it's kind of has a cool, little bit of a cool factor. And anymore, both male and female, that they've played sports in high school or wherever. And even if they didn't play, they hang out with people who go to games. And so this is a real thing for them. Trying to analyze some sort of mechanical device, not terribly real to them. Sports is a part of their life. From my angle, what I really love about it is it's visual. So there is something they can... for visual learners, they can get something out of that. Also, you can get a somewhat complicated problem stated easily because of the sports background. So a multi-step problem that would be really hard to set up just as a pure math problem is understandable in terms of a sports situation.
Yeah, that's a good explanation of it. So when you did start integrating this into your teaching and then going to research, what did you start with first? What can you remember what the individual examples were that you used? And maybe if it's easier, like what was the first research project that you did that you would consider, quote unquote, sports analytics?
The first one I did was sports ratings. And this is a long time ago. And the rating system that I developed was piggybacking on others. It's now known as the Massey system. So it's one of the kind of classic rating systems now. And it was just a fun thing to do. Actually, it had to do with job interviewing. I wanted a fun topic. And I'd seen an article, and it worked well. And I got it published as a COMAT module. They used to do this 15-page teaching-oriented modules that you could plug into a classroom as a project. So that was really my first thing, was developing a rating system.
Okay. Reading through your CV, it looks like you've worked with a lot of different sports, but that golf seems to be your favorite and the one that you keep coming back to. Why is that? What is it? You're a golfer by nature? Is there something that lends itself to statistical analysis? Just to talk about your love of golf and how you work that into analytics.
Sure. Well, golf is, first of all, what I still play. Aged out of playing tennis, my joints decided I needed to retire. I played golf in high school and college, so I certainly love the game and know something about it. As far as the research, I've always tried to integrate physics and math and statistics all long-term interests of mine. And so golf has a lot of physics behind it, has a lot of statistics. And I kind of stumbled into a book on it, got invited to write a golf book. And at the same time, the timing was absolutely perfect because the PGA Tour had come out with their new statistical platform, ShotLink, which has just an amazing set of numbers to play with. It's the best playground ever. And also, somewhat coincidentally lucky for me, golf is not something that a lot of people had researched. When I was looking around for other things to piggyback on, there wasn't a whole lot there in terms of golf. So it was really a lot of fun to be able to kind of invent my own ideas.
And that's a great segue into my next question. And you and I went back and forth with this on email a couple months ago, but it doesn't seem that golf has a really rich analytics research community around it right now. And I don't understand why that is, because of everything you just mentioned. There does seem to be an abundance of data that's available for researchers. There is definitely a science angle to it. There's an equipment angle to it. The courses, the playing fields are different. I mean, it seems like that would be a rich thing to study. Why is that? I mean, why do you think that golf does appear to lag behind other sports in the analytics field?
So I think there's two ways to answer that. The ShotLink data actually comes from above, which is interesting. The Bill James baseball revolution came very much from an outsider, and the sport itself resisted it. Golf, this data set comes from the PGA Tour. They were the ones who started it. And so within the PGA community, actually it's used quite a bit. And I wonder if maybe that has partially suppressed some of the public research, that maybe some of it's proprietary, they're using it for the actual PGA golfers. The other thing is, we just held a sports conference at Roanoke College, and one of the talks was on bowling, and the opening line there was, looked around for all sorts of bowling stats, because bowling's an obvious, easy one to analyze. And he couldn't find anything, and he was really puzzled by it. And then he thought, oh, yeah, nobody much likes bowling. So I think really there just aren't that many golfers out there. Yeah. At a conference, as apparently with this one, I'm usually the only one speaking about golf.
Yeah, you know, now that you've looked at it enough, you know, let's look at the PGA Tour, and there's an abundance of data. You know, how would a regular guy who just plays in a Wednesday night league, would there be opportunities for him to integrate analytics in his game somehow? You know, let's just say he's playing the same course every week. What sorts of things would be available to him? And thinking about my brother-in-law, because I wanted to tell him about this. So what could he do to really look into it and analytically inform his approach to the game?
Well, I think there's potentially a big leap coming up, which most serious golfers now have GPS in some fashion, so their phones will have it, or they may have a device for it. And there are things available where you can either enter in a phone type device, or there's things that attach to the club, and the GPS marks the locations of all of your shots, and then that can be fed into this big time analysis. So which shots were hurting you the most? You can have a download, you know, it can be visual, it can be a map of where all your shots were, it can be a breakdown of your drives compared to a professional, cost you 7 shots on this round. So you could analyze the different aspects of your game that way. What will be good is when somebody comes up with a baseline that's not PGA Tour baseline, but Joe Hacker baseline.
Right. Good call. So tell me a little bit about your books. The ones you sent over in your bio are Golf by the Numbers and Sports Math. Just tell us a little bit about those and maybe anything else that you've contributed to.
Okay. So Golf Math was the one I referenced earlier. My editor suggested I might be able to do that, and it sounded like a lot of fun. I had a sabbatical coming up. It's part physics, part math, part analytics. The analytics part was a wonderful surprise because of the PGA Tour ShotLink. So it runs through some of the things that might actually maybe help someone's game about some of the physics of it. What causes a slice? There's a little thing about how much of putting really is luck. The greens are bumpy. And so there's a little bit of research into the actual standard deviation of a particular putt wandering offline, not through your own fault, which is always good news as a golfer. It wasn't my fault. And then the analysis is, at the time I was developing it, but lots of other people were doing the same, and it's starting to become standard for the PGA golfers to be able to isolate a particular type of shot and analyze the plus and minus of it for each individual golfer. So that was kind of Golf by the Numbers, which I figured was the last book I would write. I had for many years had done a calculus series with a friend, Bob Smith, for McGraw-Hill. And one of my ex-editors there said, you know, you had all these great math sports examples in the calculus book. Why don't you do a sports book? I thought, well, you mean like my golf book? but no, this was for all sports. And it also follows the same pattern. There's some physics and some regular math, like the rating systems, and then some analytics. So that book is trying to do as many sports as possible.
Is that academically oriented, or is it more general interest oriented?
Yeah, good question. The Golf by the Numbers was intended to be a popular math book. Okay. Sports math is intended as a textbook.
Okay.
But hopefully it could be read as a nice book to read, but there are lots of exercises and it is set up kind of as a textbook.
Okay. What questions do you have that you want to pursue in the future, research-wise, either on your own or with partners, with students?
Well, that's my big thing right now is at Roanoke College, I started a thing called the Stat Crew, which is a group of students that go to games and collect data and then analyze the data, send reports to the coaches, an idea I at least partially stole from Tim Chartier at Davidson. I really would like to get that group set up as well as possible and get those students not only going to the games and collecting data, but taking a step into the analytics field. I think it is a field that's growing and has lots of possibilities, and it's a good place for certain students to head to. So hopefully I can promote their research a lot better.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because I've been looking at, you know, we're doing this on audio, but Roland and I can see each other on video right now, and Stat Crew poster is right over his shoulder right now. And I was going to get around to asking you about that too. So is that just collecting stats at this point, or are you working with the teams and the coaches and the athletes at Roanoke to share the findings of what you've collected?
We do meet with the coaches, and the data we collect is kind of a negotiation of what's possible for the students at the games to do live for the most part, because as a voluntary group, they're not really interested in spending a whole lot of time other than going to the games, which is fun. And then what's useful to the coaches. So that is what we're aiming towards mostly, is let's get something that is giving the coaches, and at Division III, data is scarce for coaches. So for soccer, we've done soccer, basketball, and lacrosse, and in some cases, it's just a matter of getting passing statistics that aren't available otherwise because we don't have the budget to buy the big packages. But hopefully also getting the students interested in research projects. So one student who was a basketball player, after a season, we were looking at his stats, and he had been really good shooting threes from the right corner and missed all of his threes from the left corner. So I asked him about it, and at first he denied it because he didn't think he could be that bad to miss all of them from the same corner. And he said, oh yeah, I hate the left corner. And it turned into a research project. Yeah. He was left-handed, and I got to thinking, you know, Steph Curry is deadly from the left corner, maybe not so much from the right corner. So the project was just, do left-handers shoot better from one side of the court than the other?
Yeah. And yeah, that's great. I mean, that's a great research project. You know, you mentioned the D3 level, and that's where we are here at Stevens Point. And I've always thought that you know, with the amount of athletes and that we have, student athletes that we have, that it's just a great laboratory of such, you know, of sorts to do research that's both beneficial to the student and to the teams competitively. And I know that we, one of the first things that gave me an idea for this conference was we had a distance runner who was a biology major who was working with a faculty member who was interested in genetics, and they did some gene testing on distance runners versus sprinters. And I mean, that those sorts of opportunities are everywhere on a campus like ours. And again, it's not phony. It's not surface level or superficial. It's good research. And it's interesting to hear those examples that you've come up with.
Yeah, and our administration has been very supportive in the sense that a collaboration between academics and athletics, that just boosts the entire college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go back to your topic for the conference then. It's the PGA Tour, playing to your strengths. What does that mean?
So if you look at a time series graph of a golfer's performance, even at the PGA Tour level, it's very up and down. It's surprisingly unpredictable and chaotic looking. So my broad question is there anything that can be identified that causes those ups and downs or goes with them? A golfer has his best week of the year. Is that because his strengths got better or because he minimized his weaknesses? So it's trying to look at it at that question.
Okay, very good, very good. So, you know, let's say we've got a young aspiring mathematician wants to go into the field as an academic, but they would like to incorporate sports into their work, teaching or research-wise. So what would be your suggestion on first steps that they could take to do that?
There is a lot of literature out there. There's all sorts of blogs, all sorts of websites. Actually, the MAA has just started a sports Sigma, the special interest groups. And so they're starting to put a lot of resources available. Meetings like yours and the joint meetings always has a really good session. So there's possibilities now to do a project and get the word out there. I think some advice I heard that makes a lot of sense to me was go ahead and take the time to get your work out there. Start a blog, write about it, get something out there. You probably don't get anything immediately for that. But if you run into somebody maybe interviewing for a sports analytics job, it's not just I love sports, I'm a people person, or whatever sort of silliness you might do. But, oh, I've got this blog. Go look at my work.
Okay. So you mentioned there's a lot of stuff out there. What's one piece of writing, whether it be a book, website, email newsletter, that you would recommend to our listeners? It could be about sports analytics. It could be about something completely other than that. So what's one piece of reading you'd recommend?
I'm a big Nate Silver fan. So 538 is a website I think is great. His book Signal to Noise is really good, and that has a chapter on some of his sports work, but also on some of the political work and other things he's done. So that's one of my favorites.
You're the second person to recommend that so far, so that's great. I read that a few years ago, really interesting book. So hey, Roland, where can people find out more about your work online?
Both the Sports Math book and the ShotLink book have websites. So hopefully a Google on Minton Sports Math or ShotLink would do that.
Okay.
And several other links. I mentioned the rating system. I do a kind of a blog on college football ratings. It's my chance to be a sports writer, which was one of my original ideas of what I would do with my life.
It was for a lot of us, Roland. It was. All right. Well, thanks for the time. My guest today has been Roland Minton of Roanoke College, again at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Roland will deliver a talk titled The PGA Tour, Playing to Your Strengths. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, Roland.
Thank you. Great. Looking forward to the conference.
Yeah, us too. So thank you for listening today. Again, the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.